The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. It's me! It's me!
Four guys and a movie! Four guys and a movie! Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show! Four guys and a movie!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Four Guys in a Movie podcast, where four people that know each other sit down and watch movies from the past and see how they hold up to their older, more cynical selves. I'm your host this week, Rob, and with me are my friends,
Brian,
Tony,
and Joe.
And this week we watched a sponsored episode.
Yay! Thank you for your patronage.
Yeah. So we had listener Megan. bought a sweatshirt, sure. Right?
Yeah, sweatshirt.
Sweatshirt, and you know, selling out. Hashtag selling out. And then told us that she wanted us to watch Timeline, because it was the first movie she ever saw while on a date. I guess it was her first date ever.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed it. I guess.
I guess it was a good date. I guess.
Huh. Sure.
Made her, she remember this, so.
Yeah, well.
So I would try to forget. Oh, spoilers.
Shame.
She had Gerard Butler and Paul Walker.
Shame with it.
Through it.
Yeah. So.
Hey, Paul Walker. I mean, no, let me Gerard just, Butler did not hesitate to remove his shirt in this movie.
No, he did not. So let me say right out the gate. All due respect to the deceased, but.
Oh, here we go.
I got some Doritos.
I don't need. I don't need them. I don't want them.
Yeah,
Paul Walker. I got stuff to say about this dude. There's nothing left in there. It's just nibbles.
Enough
just
to keep nibbles, you quiet.
Nibbles ain't gonna keep him quiet.
Nibbles ain't gonna
you
keep me.
Gotta fill his mouth up.
The entire girth of my mouth needs to be full.
Brian.
We got zebra dicks here.
Yeah,
we do have zebra dicks.
No, that causes the gobbler to show up.
Nobody wants the gobbler. And
I don't want to hear what the gobbler thinks about this movie.
What even is the gobbler?
She enjoys it. I'll tell you later.
So anyone else have history with this movie?
No, I've never seen it.
One of the guys in my old vampire game saw it once and told me a little bit about it. And I think after about a minute of his spiel, I stopped listening to him.
Yeah.
Tavis?
No. Jay.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I saw one portion somewhere in the middle of this movie when I was working at the video store. And I just went, nope, we're turning this off. That was the end of it. Everyone's favorite part.
I just remember in the sales pitch where someone was like, some people go back in time to medieval France to take part in a battle. And I'm like, and they didn't bring anything modern with them. So I'm like, can we have just had a movie about a medieval French battle?
Sure. You
know, like just a 100 years war movie.
But it wouldn't be Michael Crichton.
Yeah, I think that was my thing. I was like, Jurassic Park was awesome, so I'll go see Congo. Nope. We're done.
Now, I kept getting this movie confused with, is it A Sound of Thunder? Where there's something to do with baboons or something.
Oh, yeah, that one is
Is that also bananas. Michael Crichton? Or is it like Ray Bradbury or one of those kind of deals?
I believe that's at least loosely based on the book, but I don't
remember
that
who's. Isn't that the guy with the mullet is like safety not guaranteed?
I have seen that one.
This once.
I'd rather watch that.
Pretty much. Yeah, much better movie.
Yeah, no, general rule of thumb, if they're like, we're going to go back in time to this place, I'd rather just the movie be set in that place.
So none of us have seen this?
Nope.
No.
All right.
I've seen a YouTube series that picks apart quote-unquote historical movies on this. That's about it.
All right. Well, beyond that, what else can anyone tell us about this film?
I'm going to nitpick the shit out of it.
I knew that was coming. Well, oddly enough, this movie actually was released in November. Since this podcast will also come out around the same time.
That's not odd. That's when usual bum, terrible movies are released.
That's January, my friend. But anyway, this is directed by Richard Donner.
Dick Donner.
who we might remember as the director from 12 Blocks, Conspiracy Theory, Lethal Weapon 3, Lethal Weapon 4, The Toy, and
I like The Toy.
Sarah Teat, Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic.
Didn't he also do Superman, though?
Yeah, like I said,
he was trying to name his first movies.
If we watch their trash, I will name their trash.
The Toy is Richard Pryor. That movie, I love that movie.
All right.
I put it on the list because I love the movie.
But yeah, Michael Crichton decided after Jurassic Park, he was going to offer up the rights to his movies on the condition that they go more, base it more off the book. Like he gets to actually write the script. But after how this turned out, he immediately said, you know what? We're not doing that anymore. And just kind of stopped giving out his rights altogether. He was like,
I'm going to write the scripts. And I'm going to do it this time with my feet.
Well, no, this is where we get into the thing.
While writing an actual book with my hands.
Yes.
This is where we get to the thing of, let's not forget, as you pointed out, this is Richard Donner.
And being
flayed. Who did Superman. So once again, we did not like his original cut. So we had to cut it again and again and again and again. Until we lost major plot points to this movie. Including, as Brian brought up earlier, there was a part where...
I thought the Richard Donner cut was considered the best version of the Superman movie.
Yes, which was not the theatrical released one. Yeah.
The studio was like, hey, we need to cut some stuff.
Yeah, the Richard Donner cut, if I'm not mistaken, is pretty much one and two as one solid movie, or more or less, whatever. But yeah, but the studios, you know, butchered it a bit, and it still worked, but anyway.
But this had Paul Walker in it.
Yeah.
And Gerard Butler.
Gerard
Butler, he did good. Anyway.
Originally, there was a big part where the professor,
Bill Connelly.
Johnston, Billy Connolly, had a whole narration in the beginning of the movie that explained half of what was going on and why.
But they cut it and used it for, never mind.
Boondock Saints?
Boondock Saints 2.
Yeah.
All Saints Day.
They had to fill it with something. And the battle sequence, or several of the battle sequences in this, used medieval reenactors, which was because Richard Donner didn't want to use too much CGI, which I appreciate that part.
I mean, that's
one of the few positives I can say about
it. Not necessarily a part I have a problem with.
I wouldn't even imagine CGI being in this movie.
No.
Like honestly.
Oh, this came out in 2003. I could see how they could have put CGI all over the
stage. No, but I mean, like, awful. Like, there's nothing CGI worthy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just do it, like, practically and be fine. Like,
I don't want a dick right
so,
now.
So, yes, you do.
Yeah, but not a. I want a chocolate dick.
Rob, get away from me.
Thank you, Brian. So, who wants to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
I already know, so I gotta be out.
$65 million.
So it's 2003.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a lot. $50 million in a Renaissance fair.
How much is a Renaissance fair worth to you, Joe?
Which Renaissance fair?
Like a shitty one.
How much is a Renaissance fair worth to you, Joe?
Yeah, no, about $15.
Okay,
that's about where I draw the line.
$16 million and $16 million and $15.
No, and, 50 million and 50.
Oh, 50
million. Mine was 65.
Oh, yours was 65 million. Mm. Well, sorry, guys. You want to tell them what it was, Brian?
$80 million.
Bingo.
Well, I guess technically Rob wins.
Yo.
No.
$80 million for this bullshit.
No.
Because it came up before.
There are no winners here.
I want to remind you at this point, Beetlejuice, which we did prior to this, I believe was 15 million?
Something like that.
Yeah,
15. Do you make it? $80 million for this.
But like, in all fairness, if they had to cut and recut and recut a bunch of times, then maybe that some of the money went to reshoots. And that kind of
maybe, but not that much. Anyone want to guess how much this made?
Oh, I'm going to say that. 25.
30?
This was after Congo. People had lost their love for Michael Crichton at this point.
I saw two numbers. I'm not sure which one's real or not. I saw $15 million and I saw $13 million.
Oh, I know we were in that bad.
I believe that was domestic. I think worldwide this made $25 million,
okay.
Roughly. I think it was like 24 and change, but yeah, I'll give it to Rob, $25 million.
I don't feel good about it.
Again, compared to Beetlejuice, $15 million to make, $75 million made domestically, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't even have worldwide numbers on that. But yeah, big difference there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you also consider Michael Keaton tearing up the screen, Paul Walker struggling to cognate.
Yahoo!
That was her. It wasn't
and then yet. Whatever that was, yeah.
One of the most awkward love stories I've ever
her
seen.
Her Han Solo impression. Happy life day, everyone.
Happy life day, Rob.
This chocolate all peanut right. butter dick.
You want to know what $8 million gets you for a cast?
Yes, let's
please,
hear this.
Joe.
God damn it. All right, so you got Paul Walker as Chris Johnston, Frances O'Connor as Kate Erickson, Gerard Butler as Andre Merrick, Billy Connolly as Professor Johnston, David Thewlis, King Einan himself, as Robert Doniger, Anna Friel as Lady Claire, a.k.a. Joan of Arc, Neil McDonough as Frank Gordon, and Michael Sheen as Lord Oliver.
Wait. What? So that, were they repurposing the Joan of Arc story, or was she actually supposed to be Joan
Well, I was
going
to talk about that when we get to Castle Guard, but it's
that's like Joan 2 hours away.
But, like, I don't know why we didn't just use Joan of Arc.
All right.
No idea.
Something seemed off about the whole thing. So they were repurposing the story of Joan of Arc.
Well, there is a famous battle where Joan of Arc, after she had gotten kind of sort of command of an army, or at least they were following where she should attack and whatnot.
Yeah, it burned her, right?
No, before that, when she was actually having success on the battlefield, she led a French army in a siege of a British castle, and it was her getting shot with an arrow and deeply wounded, and then she came back still wounded, and it rallied the French, and they stormed the castle and won the day. So it's basically the story they're telling here, for the most part.
Well.
Just.
Well, maybe someone somewhere in this was like, this is not historically accurate, so we need to change some things to just make it our own thing?
It's telling the story in the same way that a baby can accidentally spell words with letter blocks.
Yeah, but it's like that. Yeah. I mean, that's a cool story and actually happened. Like, lots of people were there and witnessed it. Like, oh, yeah. Why don't we just have them go back and see that part?
Because then you couldn't have the end.
Right.
My ear!
Yeah. With Gerard Butler.
It was me!
Couldn't do her. Right. I suppose that's true.
All right. So we want to just get into this?
If Rob's I don't want to.
Eating and not doing his duties over here.
Duties. Sorry. It was all loud.
I'm eating my feelings.
Yeah. Rob needs comfort food right now. All right. You want me to start this off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So a peasant dies in the middle of a road. That's the first scene. It's just guys are driving. A peasant appears and dies. You're like, I don't know you, but good.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
So
he gets stabbed, and then he, in the Middle Ages, and appears on a desert road, but seems to have died because of organ failure.
Yeah,
because he's just all kinds of jacked up.
He got spliced wrong when he
He was splinched.
Splinched. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So he's at the hospital. The doctors are like, "Whoa, this guy is just fractured along his everything." And then this ITC corporation shows up. They're like, "Whatever, give me the body. Shut up. Don't tell anybody about this."
I do like how the officer was like, "Damn, that sucks when like your boss has to come get your body." Like, like something's not right when like you know. Your employer has to come get you. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's a sad state of affairs.
And they just turn over everything?
Apparently.
Yeah, hey.
Just sure. Like, he doesn't have family. Don't question it. Don't look into it. Just give me his stuff. And hey, that necklace. I need that back.
The first, goddamn it, this film got out of me is I found out on the other end of this guy's cell phone is fucking King Einan, Professor Lupin, David Thewlis
over
here. Dude,
pretending
that's
to be.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't catch that this whole time?
No, because I'm like, this fuck face is familiar.
Yeah.
And you were like, wow, his American voice is so natural.
Yeah. Yeah, what the hell was going on?
I don't know.
I was trying to place why I hate this guy.
It sounded like he had something attached to his balls that would electrocute him every time he spoke in an English accent.
It's funny because I mentioned this is probably one of the worst.
Wait, what? Brian, that's what you want your powers to be?
Yes, yes, that's exactly it.
Nut shock on interrogation.
A tight British accent.
Gonna make sense to no one listening.
That's right. Fine.
Sure it is. So this is one of the few movies where Gerard Butler doesn't have to put on some shitty accent to cover up his Scottish brogue.
It's one of the few movies Gerard Butler is the best actor around in it.
But that's the thing.
Sad.
instead, David Thewlis apparently has his accent like chained up just barely, you know, by like the cheap rope that they hang these little necklaces on. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do here. It's terrible.
Yeah, these necklaces are on the same little chains that the pens of the bank are use.
Not even.
Right. So either way, this guy's last word is Castle Guard. So you're like, what the hell is Castle Guard? Well, we find out right away on Billy Connolly's Warhammer table.
I mean, it does sound like a video game or a D&D book or something like that.
They're taking the Isles of Castle Guard. Sorry.
So yeah, saying the worst. They're there at like. He's recreating the events of the battle with a little miniatures table. He's like, here are the British in their bright red uniforms, which they didn't have till English Civil War way later, but whatever. They got to be red. And then here's the French in their blue uniforms, which they also didn't have, but we got to have a red versus blue.
I was reading about this, like, to some research. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they had German shields, British and German shields, and the French had Quebec shields, and it was like
really? No, the British shields were the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm. Oh well, you know, I mean,
sure.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about that, we got Billy Connolly, Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Gerard Butler, Scottish. Mm. Paul Walker is his son.
Yeah, because his wife may not have been Scottish and lived in the U.S.
Gerard Butler's the son that he wanted to have.
Well, I'm saying, like, why have him there? Why have this other Scottish dude?
You need to have somebody else.
And Paul Walker, who's...
yep.
Not Scottish. Not...
Whatever.
Who looks like he should be the son to Keanu Reeves' character in Point Break, maybe? If he had a kid with, I don't know, Gary Busey, maybe.
Yeah. I was just thinking Jake Busey.
Yeah. And they smoke and drink during the pregnancy the whole time. Yeah. But, I mean...
Why all the Paul Walker hate? Like,
dude, he's a terrible actor.
It's a shitty movie. So
I know.
I'm not going to talk about Paul Walker in
he's
general.
Right where he belongs, but it's not good that he's... Movie, like.
He is the weakest part of this film.
I'm not
Miss. I'm the best climber in the place. Yahoo! Like,
and I stand by my statement. She's getting there, but
they're neck and neck for that race to be terrible. All right,
dude, his like dead-eyed stare and his like robotic just. Right.
This race is one of those ones you win by default.
Like his lines.
No. I will solve this in a moment. Paul Walker wins by a nose, and that nose is the fact that he can't even stand silently in the scene without bringing it down a little. Because, like Rob said, that dead-eyed stare just ruins it.
He's not even, like, repeating his lines. He's, like, his lines are in his head just giving up and then falling out of his face.
Oh, okay.
They're coming out with their hands behind their head just like, all right,
we give surrender.
Up. Yeah, we surrender. Here, whatever. Oh, hey, that's my dad. Don't. Kill him, please.
Okay, can I have that paycheck, please? No.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just...
He was hired for his looks, not his abilities.
Why?
Because...
It's a shitty movie. Yeah. Like, why are you like about a
Because that's
movie?
What we do. That's what this podcast
because,
is.
You're so heated. Like,
because in 2003, you could sell more tickets with a good-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy than you could with someone...
In like 1944, you could too. That doesn't make it a good idea.
Yeah. I'm not saying it was a good idea. Nothing here was a good idea.
In 2003, as sad as I am to say it, I could have used a Vin Diesel in this movie. That would have spiced it up.
Oh. Yeah. He could have also been living his life 1/4 mile at a time.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 century at a time.
I don't know. If we were going with generic actors put in here for their looks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, why weren't the roles swapped?
And
Gerard Butler was Billy Connolly's son.
Well,
could you have imagined Paul Walker being the guy who had to fill
as going my ear, my ear?
No, Can you imagine Paul Walker as what? He was an archaeologist, some kind of professor or something.
You know what's sad? In this scenario, and I never thought I would have said this, I would have rather just had two Gerard Butlers.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't.
Yes.
I never thought I would ever say that.
That is correct.
How about one Gerard Butler and like a hand puppet?
That's basically what you had. Yeah. But no, I guarantee this was, we hired Gerard Butler. He was going to play the son. And then they were like, well, we need to get another actor. And I'm like, well, we can get this good looking young guy. Like, well, he's got to be the son then. We'll just shuffle
Gerard
that
Butler's
over.
Gerard not good looking enough?
Compared to Paul Walker, I don't think so. I'm thinking they're aiming for the teen market. Paul Walker is more your draw
Gerard
than Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler was Dracula.
Megan, when you hear this, write in.
I'm not going
to. Also, keep in mind. Wait. Also, keep in mind. No, I'm not arguing who is better looking or anything. Just, I'm saying, keep in mind, from the standpoint of movie making, this was pre-300.
Well, we didn't have been here for this. But it was post-Dracula 2000.
Just remember which one I would fuck, marry, and kill.
Which one?
It was Gerard Butler. Remember Dracula 2000?
I don't. Oh.
Who was he up against?
Though you guys were playing Fuck, Marry, Kill with the three succubi.
Were we?
Oh, yeah. Right, and you were going on for a while. I'm putting an end to this shit right now. I'm like, I'll fuck Gerard Butler, I'll marry Gerard Butler, and I'll kill Gerard Butler all at the same time.
Right. I couldn't remember who else was in it.
Vitamin
it was
A,
no one.
Jerry Ryan, and
yep.
Oh, no, Vitamin C.
Jennifer Esposito, was it?
Vitamin D.
That was the right friend with
that. It's vitamin C, guys.
Sorry.
All right. Remember, she's citrus flavored because she has the red hair. I don't know. It makes sense.
Anyway, this movie.
They're doing archaeology things. And then, like, Billy Connolly's like, hey, the people that are paying us all this money have all these weird hunches and know all these things that there's no way they should know. I'm going to go talk to them.
I mean, they're all wrong, but yeah, they have all these theories.
Yeah, so I'm going to go.
And he's gone.
And he's gone. And that's it. You're like, well, that was the only character here I was at all interested in.
Yes.
And he's gone. And then he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, don't mess around with Kate.
But weirdly
don't
enough.
Don't mess with my TiVo. I've got saved episodes ahead of the class.
But weirdly enough, he's like, I'm leaving on a trip tomorrow. Next time we hear anything about him, he's supposedly in danger and missing for 2 days.
Yep.
How'd that happen? All right.
Yeah, nope.
Just we don't really. Nuts. Yeah, science. Just cutting room floor.
Yep.
But
so yeah, he's like, don't stay away from Kate. Next scene. Hey, Kate, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get Paul Walker and Kate talking, and yes, they are the two. You know what? Even if they're not related in this movie, if they have children, it still counts as inbreeding.
Wow. So Kate is an archaeologist, just like dude, dad is,
and a mouth breather, just like his son is.
Wow. Oh, shit.
He's not wrong, but ouch.
This is the first time in my notes I've written, this is boring. With the two of them trying to have a conversation.
Because it was boring.
Yeah.
I honestly think just if we used this next few seconds of this scene and showed actual archaeologists slowly digging something up would have been more entertaining. It would have had more charisma in it, too.
Basically, the fuck's Paul Walker's character's name again?
Paul
Chris.
Walker.
Chris.
Doesn't matter.
Chris, like, I like you. She's like, yeah, I figured. I wish you didn't.
like, yeah, you're not subtle.
That's the scene.
And they're like,
but he's like, he's still like, I'm going to try and touch you now. Like, yeah. Stop.
I bought you a beer and I spilled it. So here's my beer because I didn't spill my beer. You can have my beer. Also, I shouldn't drink beer.
All right.
The shit's caving in the monastery. Let's go over there.
Oh, yeah. Fast forward, and like later on the next day. Yeah.
Oh, we get a legit air horn. Beep, beep, beep,
beep.
We do. And yeah, we go over to belay down into a 600-year-old crypt.
Sure.
And yeah, you see a smashed statue, you see a parchment or something, and you see a bifocal lens.
Oh, wait.
What's that?
One thing before this, just because I feel we need to point this out. We have a conversation with Paul Walker and Gerard Butler about liking archaeology or not.
Oh,
and he shows
yeah.
him the tomb with the one-eared man holding hands with this girl. And I told you right then, I was like,
It's not subtle. We all knew it. it's not subtle, Tony.
I know. I want to point that out.
Well, in fairness, I thought that was going to be the professor.
I thought it was going to be Paul Walker. Yeah. So it was a little off. But
you knew it was one of them.
Yeah.
There was no way it was.
I called it correct.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Well, you called it correct when the girl showed up.
As soon as she showed up.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think we were all on the train by that point.
Because he was the one like, he's the one that looked like he wanted to live in that world. Yes.
Oh, boy, does he.
Yeah.
And Paul Walker's like, yo, you're an idiot.
There's no Wi-Fi. Like, yeah. Wait, it's 2003. There's no
AOL, dial-up. AOL discs.
Yeah.
I live my life 1/4 mile at a time, man.
Stop.
I can't.
So yeah, all right. So they find out this bifocal lens is, 600 years old. Carbon date it, but it's sure enough, it's modern.
Yeah.
Goes to the professor's glasses, and they find the professor's handwriting on some kind of list.
Yeah. And parchment they found.
Yep. Carbon dated to 600 years ago.
The glasses they found were 600 years old. It was the paper they found, but it had his handwriting on it.
Yeah, and then they found the glasses with it. Yeah. And they match his prescription and all that.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, that's not possible. He, like, did he break in and put it in there? And they're like, no, he couldn't have done that. Even if he did, this date's to 600 years old.
Is when we find out he's been missing the past 2 days.
Yeah. So I like that Paul Walker's like, hey, I'm going to report a kidnapping. And ITC just caves in right there. They're like, all right, we're sending a plane for you.
Yeah. Well, I guess, we need to keep this hush-hush real quick.
Yeah.
So quick, in fact. We do not plan for anything. It's
literally just go, go, go.
It's just from here on out, it's just a ball rolling downhill of bad ideas.
Yeah. All right. So they get flown right to the ITC laboratory. And ITC's like, yo, we were trying to make a teleporter. Instead, we made a time traveling portal that only goes back to 1357 Castle Guard.
Yeah. She
just does this one really specific.
Yeah, thing. This weird wormhole, whatever, just happens to be at that one place that you guys have been investigating for some reason.
See, I could have used somebody just being like, yo, did you try like turn it off and turn it on again? Something like some kind of levity in this situation.
You know those precious coils? Tilt one. Yeah. Try something.
Well, the only reason why they were investigating it was because ITC was giving them clues on where to look for something.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we think there's something here if you look for. And they're like, oh, there is stuff here, huh? Well, that's cool.
Oh, that's the only reason?
Yeah, because ITC, he tells you this during this in the scene. He tells you that he thinks there might be a reason why they only go back to that time and somewhere hidden in the wreckage, in the rubble.
Yeah.
So he wants them hope they would find out why that location is so important.
Yeah, and then in return, the archaeologists would just get all kinds of cool archaeology stuff. All right, so
we figured out how this wormhole works. We can send people back there. So you guys are just going now.
Well, they don't know how it works. They just know that it works.
Well, yeah. They have a vague idea of how it works because they claim they can bring them back.
Hey, listeners, do you have a big old science boner yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've done this before. They keep secret the fact that if you do it too many times, you come back as some weird, mishmash thing. That's reportedly what happened to the guy in the beginning.
Well, he looked fine, but all his innards were all spliced to pieces.
And he also was straight up stabbed.
Well,
that didn't help either.
That's what threw me off, because I was just like, oh, he died because he got stabbed, but then they're going on about his organs being misplaced or whatnot. And
it's pretty much how we all look after working. All
right, so they...
Or eating from diabetes.
They bicker for a while, and he's like, yo, just get in this medieval garb and go. We don't got time to talk about this. And Paul Walker's like, my shirt's off!
Yeah, he's like, put on this costume and go...
But everybody, they're just like, we happen to have Ren Faire clothes in the back. Just throw that on. You're getting in this machine. You're getting teleported back in time because you just believe that word.
Save his day.
Yeah.
But no, there's no planning. There's no this is like sending people to space that have never, barely know how to walk. Like, what at least the fuck are you doing?
With this one, it's like they are experts on like this area. So, I mean, at least they're more qualified than they're just like, can't we just teach astronauts?
Yeah. And they said that. The guy said that. Like,
but they're experts and his son.
But here's my problem with it. You have things like, we can't send you back with the glasses because that was a problem before. Like, you can't get this guy contacts or something. Like, because here's an issue I have in general with time travel movies. That there's such an urgency to go save his dad. You're going back in time.
Yeah.
Whatever time you leave, you show up at the same time. That's how it works.
Well, with this, I think there was a whole bleh about, oh, well, it's a wormhole. We don't know how long we can... something and Paul but, Walker.
Yeah, but it's like they should show up at stuff. The time that yeah, everybody else has right. been showing up.
Right.
Yeah, in theory, they should show up maybe seconds after his dad.
What, but that's not true because...
I know, that. Yeah. Which, again, is why time travel is really yeah. fucked up and only, you know, really smart people also, should handle writing these scripts.
Also in the book, they did send them back with technology because they had translators in their ears, which is how they explain the fact that they can actually understand what's going on.
Did you read the book?
No, but I did watch some stuff on okay. like all the things wrong with this movie.
I guess in the books, I didn't read either, but I saw some stuff. In the book, supposedly, there was no fixed point for them to go back to. They can go whenever they wanted to, and that's happened to be with
yes.
them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, changes so much. But also, yeah.
And that some of the characters were female in the book. And
yes.
They made them men in the movie. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, also, we are given these little markers. They're basically like coins hanging from some cheap-ass mm-hmm. string that shows you how long you have before you have to leap back. And yeah, it lets you actually go back when you press it down. Let's not give them armor or yep, make that, no. I don't know, more sturdy well, watch
can't,
type.
Can't band send them back with weapons or something. Anything.
Yeah.
So like modern weapons, but it's like, why don't we send them back with at least some medieval
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Dress them as better than peasants. How about like make them knights or something? Something.
Yeah. Ask them, be like, hey, what would be really helpful to have at that time? Yeah. Being all archaeologists and whatnot.
Hey, you know how we sent this other guy back like several times? Tell us what we need.
Yeah, what's there? What do we always yeah. encounter? Right. No, none of that. Just we whip our shirts off, we get in the portal.
Ray, if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Oh, we'll get to that.
So
hold on a moment.
I forget this. The guy who played, what was his name? Ken or what's his name? The army guy. That blonde or guy that's always...
Frank Gordon.
Frank Gordon. Yeah, Frank. That's it. So yeah, that guy is like, yo, check it out. This is red shirt one, red shirt two. They're coming with
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Don't get too close.
Yeah. Don't get attached to these yeah. guys.
They're Marines.
I mean, they gave red shirts a run for their money.
They really
these
did.
These guys did not last.
I think one dude still had his foot in the portal. Yeah.
Just to clarify, you mean metaphorically, because when the red shirts actually chase them down, they do not give them a run at
no,
all.
No, no, it's true. The red shirts in this movie do the ask.
Like the worst part about it is one of the characters goes, why are Marines coming? And he says, well, if something goes down, you want someone who can handle themselves. And I'm like, but they don't have guns or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't trained wow. from wow. ambushes. So, like, what?
Why don't they have, like, even something like a crossbow made with more modern materials that would work better? Like, even yeah. something like that.
With, like, well, screws.
And again, this is where it all comes apart.
Just bring a taser and tell everybody you're a wizard.
Yeah.
Well, this is, again, where it all falls apart. Because I would argue the reason you wouldn't do that is because if anything would happen, and if you were to leave that behind, you've drastically changed the course of history. However, all is thrown out the window because one guy brings a grenade.
Like, yeah. legit. Like, so they go through the portal. Immediately,
they're just attacked.
English show yeah. up and starts attacking them. And the first oh. Marine literally gets killed immediately.
Immediately. Yep. Like, he's dead. This time travel, what they the time travel effect makes like Star Trek 4 time travel look
oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
it
we're
was
just,
amazing.
Well, it was pretty amazing. I watched that movie a few weeks ago, still holds up. But like, it's just slow-mo screaming for a minute. And yeah. then,
mm-hmm. It's like watching yeah. a Creed video.
Yeah.
It was a little sad, but this is where I was talking about, I'm glad for the CGI, because if they had tried to like turn them into bubbles and have them fade into yeah. the ceiling or something, this would have looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have turned them into Wonka bars.
This movie needs Oompa Loompas. Because all list. Anyway.
All played by Deep Roy.
I don't believe it. Could have just used, like, even if it was just like a flash of light and they're gone. And there's like everyone's like, well, that was kind of anticlimactic or something like that. Yeah, something like
stretch out the film or something. Yeah, yeah, a bright light anything. Comes in. But
here's what I don't get. So they teleport. They get teleported into a river, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
not where it chose the landing zone.
Like, does that happen every time? Mm-hmm. Like, is they go in the river every time? Like, what the yeah. fuck?
I don't think so. I think the idea is they were like, you're always in the same basic area, but not necessarily the same spot.
Okay.
Because the photos did show the river in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, maybe it's just, you know, as time and space move, you're a little off. But
Yeah, one guy gets immediately knighted. Like, he's just appears stab. Like, guy on a horse just rides by.
And loses his marker.
And loses his marker, yep.
Just gone.
And his corpse is left back in the 13th century.
Yeah. Or 12th century. So now, his corpse and a piece of technology is left in the 13th century. Yep.
So,
And Goldblum
is
not having it.
This other guy shows by. He's fucking... He's got a few different character classes here because he's firing a longbow from horseback. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So he, launches a longbow into this other guard. Now, granted, the guy's got an arrow in his chest, so his decision-making ability is compromised. But he's like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull out this hand grenade that I have.
Mm-hmm. That they were told to not bring anything from the future.
For whatever fucking reason. These are the two red shirts, by the way, we're talking about.
Yeah, and again...
The alleged Marine security team.
We told them not to bring anything. We didn't pad them down or anything. Because why would you do that?
Yeah.
Right. Just send them on in.
I mean, an explosive, I guess, it'll blow up. So,
I mean, it's a frag grenade.
Yeah.
So it still leave fragments everywhere.
It'll leave fragments of metal, but it's not like it's going to leave something behind that's going to... Someone's going to find and be like, I'm going to make a device that it explodes when you pull
it. Yeah, but its use will leave a lot of questions that will change.
And if you're going by the butterfly effect, you know, it's got who knows what kind of consequences.
But either way, this guy's like, all right, I got my hand grenade. Now I'm going to squeeze the little thing to go home.
Right, that makes sense.
Yep. And this other guy's like, I'm just going to keep putting arrows in you. so then he teleports back to 2003 or whatever. And he's like, guys, I got a bunch of arrows and a grenade. Drops that, dies, blows up the time machine.
Yep.
And you're just like, what the fuck kind of lazy writing was that? Like, that immediately went to shit. For, like, no reason.
Nah, I may just be a simple country chicken, but if I have a time machine that is solely operated on these precious, precious coils, you think I might have some backup ones?
Mm-hmm.
You would just think?
In case the worst happens?
I mean, they do say there's, like, they're not even sure if they built this thing properly or if this is just some happy accident. So maybe you can't build a backup, but you would think you would try and, I don't know,
have extra parts hanging around.
Or, like, why not just have it where all of a sudden the machine breaks and, like, they can't come back. And you're like, why did it break? I don't know. Let's take a look. And then you find out later on that Professor Lupin McWeirdface is, like... you know, tampering with it or something because he just wants to dispose of all these people or something like that. Just think a little harder than dude pulls out grenade, dude blows up time machine.
I'll one-up you on this.
Yeah.
Why not? You have... The way this thing works is we could track you by these little markers, but they can't do shit, and you just have 24 hours to handle your shit and then get back here and then not have this whole garbage with Professor Lupin and the D-squad of, nerd dudes, whatever.
Why not just have this movie set in 1357 and not have time travel? Because it's so inconsequential to this movie.
Maybe use that time to build up the relationships that just come out of nowhere.
All right, right off the cut, this movie... better or worse than A Kid in King Arthur's Court?
I'd rather watch that.
With the CD player, laser gun.
Because I laughed harder on that.
I will have a more profound emotional reaction from Kid in King Arthur's Court.
That's fair.
This movie, I'm just kind of like, why are we doing this? And then I stop caring.
Okay.
So, Gerard Butler runs off and, like, hides in a hole, finds a lady. He's like, I will do you.
Yeah. You are mine.
Yeah. Then, like, you're like, all right.
You smell great.
Here are some British people. They're bad guys because they're in red. Here comes the blue people having a little skirmish, whatever. Gerard Butler comes out. He's like, I just got a lady. Just kills this knight. He's like, I just killed someone. He's like, his testosterone levels are just going through the roof.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's now become a man. And
like for a hot second, he had to contemplate the I took a life.
Yeah.
For a hot second.
Yeah.
Quickly
just
gone,
one.
But
just one.
And then, okay, you find out the time machine's fragged, whatever. And then they're all just like, they go into a village and they all get captured.
Yep.
Just, you're like, this mission's already off to a great start.
Yeah.
Two of our people are dead. We're now captured.
Yep.
Another one's missing.
And you meet Lord Oliver. And they just have a conversation with this pompous British guy. Because, you know, modern English and Middle English are so similar.
Yeah.
That you can just talk.
Hooray for Michael Sheen.
Like, yeah. Even, like, they didn't speak French back then the way French is now. Yeah. It's a whole different language.
It's Occitan.
Yeah. So, like, even the guy who they brought a translator with them.
Yeah.
That speaks French. Which didn't even matter. Didn't even fucking matter. It was yeah. English anyway. Didn't even fucking matter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like, everyone's from English. Didn't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm. Also,
in this scene here,
their translator immediately dies.
Yeah. In this scene here, for some reason, Lord Oliver is like, hey, you say something. Hey, you tall guy, say something. And he's like, French, French, French. And the guy's like, oh, you're French? Oh, they're like, oh, he's our translator. That's why he's here. You know, don't trust us. Yeah. You know, we'll be okay. God's like, well, say this, translate this phrase. And the phrase was, I'm a spy. Just wanted him to say it out loud. He goes, oh, you're a spy. I wanted to stab him. Like, immediately he's gone.
He has his flunky stab.
Yeah.
I don't even think he gives him a signal. It's like, he's just like, no, he's dead. I killed him.
This is what I was talking about with the, you know, if you're asked if you're a god, always say yes. Because it starts with, hey, tall guy, what's your name? And he's like, Francois. Like, no, you're George, all right? You know what's up here. Just, you're Frank, whatever. Yeah. Nothing French.
He still would have said it with a French accent, though. So.
Yeah, but David Thewlis was doing such a great job of covering his accent.
Yeah.
Hey, you can fake partners. A funk a little.
Yeah, this English guy's like, a Frenchman in France? He's dead. Fuck him.
How dare
so what did you get? So the guy's dad is Scottish. Your mother's Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Oliver says, like, we're at war with Scottish too. So I'm like, why are they dead too? Like,
yeah, that's not one. That's two different Scots.
Yeah,
in France, and you could. It's not that far of a leap of logic to make that it's like the Scots and the French could be trying to form some sort of alliance to fight the English because they're both at war.
They were all there together. Yeah. So if one of them's a spy, guess what? They're working with him.
Yeah, it's probably the Scotsman. So yeah, they lock him in the dungeon with the professor. Nice and convenient. Bam. Turns out the professor was able to save himself by saying that, you know, he could show them how to make Greek fire.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, nobody knows how to make Greek fire. The Byzantines were so good at keeping that recipe a secret that it got lost to history. You can make like napalm or something like that with modern materials, but with ancient medieval materials, they don't know how to make it.
Yeah, I was wondering what exactly he was doing there. But mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So they're like, we'll just get out of here. We'll just go right through the thatched roof, which is like I think they had about a day, like an afternoon to build this thatched roof. Because it's like they threw like 5 sticks on it and called it a day.
Yes. Yeah,
she's like, we'll just move these sticks right here. And immediately there's a hole. Like thatched roof, you could probably just straight up walk on a thatched roof. It's like a foot thick.
It's thatched.
Yeah. Like it's...
intertwined.
The name of the room.
So water can't get through.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I know, you know, you're like, well, this is the one room where they locked the prisoners, so maybe they did a shitty job. But, like, the guards are right below it, so the water's going to leak on them, too. So, I don't know.
They were just like, just put sticks on it until we can't see the sun anymore.
Yeah. We're like, we got about 80% there, and they're like, good enough. Fine.
It's
This is hard.
This is not a roof. This is one of those traps when you dig a hole in the ground and you just throw the sticks on top so that somebody walks on it and falls in.
So they send Kate out to go climb across the roof and climb down. And
she's the best climber.
She is the best climber.
She's not, by the way.
No. not by
the way. Well, no, maybe the others just suck.
Well, yeah.
We don't know.
That they could just be abysmal. Yeah, Frank does point out the thing, though. She's like, yo, she weighs like 100 pounds less than the rest of us. So that at least... she's going for. So yeah, she climbs down, climbs around, kills a guard with an arrow.
Nobody notices this.
Yeah. And this is not a stealth kill.
No.
Like she screams and just jabs it right in this dude's chest.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to focus on. She doesn't fire an arrow at a man.
No.
She
pokes him with it.
Pokes him an arrow through his leather armor.
Yeah. Yeah, and that guy's not just gonna go like, ugh, and die. Like No. I'd be like, this is extremely inconvenient right now.
Yeah.
I am in a lot of hurry.
This is really painful. I'm slowly bleeding internally.
But somehow she managed to kill him with it.
Yeah.
Maybe she staked him right through the heart.
And then I love this next part, though, because the next guard comes in, and she's like, basically like in UHF, where they open up the closet, and they're just like, surprise! Like, fucking, they just launch out of the attic, like, dropkick this dude and just give him a good old-fashioned beatdown.
Yeah, I would love to see the other camera angle of how this guy was prepared to just launch himself like that.
Yeah, he was, because like it was literally like they fired a cannon, like they just pulled the stairs down and yeah. He flies out.
I can only imagine he was like on standing on his head, like holding on to the edge of this thing, ready to swing down the minute that door opened.
All right, so Gerard's like, check it out. I'd like to go with y'all, but there's a lady over there that I'm reasonably interested in. So I'm just going to leave the party behind.
My divining rod is pointing that way.
In pursuit of some vagina.
Legit.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So he goes to rescue her and he gets a bow. And I love that he just shoots that one guard. And again, it's like, it's just an arrow. The guard doesn't just immediately fall down to the ground dead. Like, he would be like, oh, fuck, there's an arrow in me.
I'm bleeding.
Yeah. Like, unless you, like, straight up just go up and cut the guy's head off, there's not a lot of ways to just immediately kill a dude with medieval weapons.
Like, square in the heart.
Especially a dude wearing armor, too.
Yeah.
But also, just the fact that Gerard went after him, or her, rather. Because, like, you would think one of the people in the party would be like, if you're worried about if she's going to be okay, she's been dead for hundreds of years. It's fine. It's let's just leave.
Yeah. No problem.
But.
So
she could be related to you directly. Maybe this is a bad idea.
So yeah, I don't.
Now you're your own grandpa.
Paying attention. I don't know. Like I know there was a guy with an axe. Whatchamacallit? Like they kick their way out of the house through the wall.
Yeah.
There's fighting. There's running. They get captured again. They run again.
Construction. Yeah, and they're just in a basket floating down the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times. And Gerard's like, I'm going to hit on her. And she's like, I'm going to be oblivious. And then you meet the French resistance, which turns out her brother is like the man in charge.
And what is up with this guy? Because he looks like Ben Stiller in some bad makeup.
I mean, whatever. He's not attractive. Sorry, Tony.
It's not just unattractive. There's something just off here, and I don't know what. And it's bugging
Ben
me.
Ben Stiller in a Will Arnett mask.
I was going to go maybe. With an older Sean William Scott.
I could see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Go ahead.
And you find out that her, she's Lady Claire, some famous lady from this battle that Gerard Butler's character.
We easily could have made her Joan of Arc, but chose not to.
So now back to the other party. The other party's like hiding in some,
Well, if it's Joan of Arc, we couldn't have the beautiful ending we get, Joe.
Sure. So, Brian, you were saying
the brakes on the word beautiful.
Look, that ending brought couples together.
For a time. So.
At least, let us imagine.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I don't think that relationship lasted. That wasn't really okay. So anyway, he's like, yo, that lady, keep her away from the castle, Lady Claire, because, you know, he doesn't basically say that she's going to die, but basically, like, it's like, don't let her near the castle, I'm going. Shit immediately goes south. He gets captured, the resistance gets attacked, she gets captured, everything just fucks up.
The rest of the party is hiding out in a little hut now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden.
They're just freaking out. This horse just kicks the wall down?
It straight up rectal gouged the wall down.
Yeah, it did.
Like, I'm like, that's just a horse's ass just slammed through the wall.
What the hell just happened? Is that normal?
I mean, I didn't realize that's a thing you could do, but, like, you totally could just do that, I suppose.
The horse has a blanket over that says Mr. Plow on it.
No, yeah. How funny would it be if the guy was just like, oh, shit, backed up too far. No, he just crushed my house. Not like it was a deliberate thing.
It's like a Red Dead blooper reel.
Yeah. I'm just picturing, like, you know, those scenes with the FBI standing next to the door, like, bring in the battery ram. It's just a horse's ass comes through.
I know this movie's trying to take itself seriously, but this is, again, like, could the horse have farted or pooped or something? But
therein lies the problem.
Yeah, something. I'm grasping at straws here.
So Billy Connolly is captured yet again, along with Frank. So they're taken away. Paul Walker and
Kate.
The two dead-eyed fish. They're presumed dead.
Well, yeah, they get stuck in a building and
yeah.
It gets lit on fire. And the British, I think there's a flaw in their armor where they can't look up.
Yeah,
it's like it's like Michael Keaton's Batman suit.
Yes.
Because like, they just always just climb out the roof and no one fucking notices.
They set this house on fire and leave. Like, everything's fine. Well, they're still around.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're escaping through the second floor, which is at, like, eye level if you're walking, and these people are on horses and just don't notice.
Well, I mean, with their armor, they can't look up, and then all the peasants, they're used to just staring at the ground anyways.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, so they escape.
Everybody's staring at their phones.
So, yeah, what are we even doing now? Gerard and Claire kiss. That probably infected her with enough diseases to kill her that
and,
her body has
and
not
infected him. Yeah.
Yeah, or the other way around. Like, their immune systems are not prepared for what the other one has to offer.
I was thinking that more when Paul Walker and Kate just are drinking out of that whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
Just find some water and start shoving in their mouths. Like, and now you have the Black Plague.
Yeah,
yeah, enjoy that.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then,
Paul Walker is the potato famine.
So now the movie's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's introduce another character. You meet this guy, Decker, who I guess they did mention very briefly.
Well, I believe he's the one. He's the one in the previous place with the axe.
Oh,
he's the one that was tearing on that. Yeah.
I did not realize that. But anyway, so
he's the Kurgan.
Yeah.
The Kurgan.
So I guess Decker just he can't go back. He's gone too many times. So
yeah, you find he's from the future. He's from their time.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, I'm kind of important here. So I'm happy, so yeah, don't fuck this up.
I made a home for myself here, and I know that if I try and go home, I'll become some weird mutant and probably die. So.
Also, your dumbass stranded me here, so stab.
Yeah, he kills Frank.
Yep.
So, let's just... Can we just fast forward
more
to, like,
than
the big
half their party
climactic
I mean, we're
castle battle?
We're
or?
Basically there. So the basic setup is, like... Paul Walker and Kate want to get into the castle. They're like, oh shit, that monastery we've been excavating forever. There is a secret tunnel.
Yeah, her precious tunnel
through the mountain.
Through the mountain, yeah. They go off in search of that. What's to call it? Gerard Butler and the professor are together. And they're like, Lord Oliver, don't kill us. We'll make you Greek fire. Check it out. It'll be cool. The French are all there. They're like, we're going to lay siege to this bitch. The British are like, bring it on. We'll fuck you up. Battle starts.
And we keep cutting back to present day.
Like, who cares?
And it really is a who cares. Because it's a whole bunch of, we're going to do this. No, you're not. We're going to do this. No, you're not. We're going to do this. And then David Thewlis pushes. Okay. So there's a scene where, like, the head scientist?
Yeah.
Question mark is like, David Thewlis, I'm not going to fix this for you because you want all these people to die.
Also, isn't this about time in movies where you usually become a villain?
Yeah.
Wait.
Are you not Ares secretly?
I also want to point that out because he's like, hey, how about we go back in there? We still have like 20 minutes or whatever. Let's fix this and bring them back. And he's like, no, we can't do that. And he's like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm going to hide the evidence. Like, well, fuck you. Then I'm not going to fix this thing. Like, that was your idea. What the hell's happening?
Yeah. So David Thewlis pushes the guy and he trips into a rack of coats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think boots.
Like, people get tricked by movies. Like, any fight can be deadly because if you fall, hit your head on something, you die. Like, our brains are not very well protected in the heads the way we think they are. So fighting of any kind can be deadly.
Yeah.
Like, so he gets pushed and falls back and cracks his head open.
But does he? He doesn't die.
No,
I don't think he cracks his head open. I think he just hurt himself a lot.
He just looks surprised.
Yeah.
He clearly hit his head on
his head.
It didn't kill him, but he's not knocked out of the... Yeah, he's knocked out of the...
He just looks up and he's like... I mean, his face is just like... You bitch.
But even David Thewlis comes over to him like, oh my god, I killed him. Like, I feel bad about this. And then, like, takes his head and like, oh, you're fine. And just, like, walks away.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
What? Walk it off.
So anyway.
I'm guessing in the book he probably died there or something. Maybe we changed that.
He gets killed by a Compsognathus. So then we...
I was going to go with a giant gray gorilla.
That's fine. Ernie Hudson gets hit with an eyeball.
Yeah.
And they all get killed for eating somebody's sesame cake. So
by a T-Rex.
We're back in
T-Rex's sesame cake.
Back in France.
Now, all right, this medieval battle, it's not the worst, but it's not good.
It's
I love me some trebuchets. Trebuchets are cool.
Yeah.
How do you feel about knight arrows, Joe?
I was building up to it.
All right, let's go.
Knight arrows in a second. Okay, trebuchets are pretty cool. They don't just hit on the first shot, though. That's pretty good trebuchetmanship there.
Well, they're the best. Yeah. The best.
So the English are like, you got trebuchets, fuck you. We got Greek fire harpoon cannons, which, I mean, cannons came out in 100 Years' War, but that's a little weird.
you know.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that.
But it was based on Chinese firework technology. Yeah.
So basically, the professor made one shot, and it worked pretty well. Burned a whole trebuchet down. So Lord Oliver's like, take a bunch of men, go make a bunch more of that shit. So that's what him and Gerard Butler are doing right now. Which we call it. Okay, so now they're doing the obligatory cliche fire arrows, which also don't work. Just make your arrows worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fly way slower, pierce less armor, and burn your hand because you draw it back to your hand. Anyway, so they're like, I got an idea, a little surprise for the French.
Also, I imagine, don't they make the arrow like super, especially since all those were wooden shafts, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they make them like super brittle?
Yeah, it wouldn't help with that. It fucks with their weight. It fucks with everything. Like it stops being an effective weapon.
Half of them probably go out. Anything other than
causing a slight fire. Anyway, so he's like, I got a surprise for the French, Lord Oliver. He's like, let's fire the knight arrows.
Knight arrows.
And what are knight arrows? We just fail to light them on fire. What the fuck is that?
Tony. What? Tony. Huh? Do you want this sriracha sauce sandwich? Or would you like a knight sandwich?
You know what?
Which is just a regular sandwich.
I'm almost out of toilet paper, so let's go with a knight sandwich. Knight
sandwich.
Like, what's funny is so the French are screaming, knight arrows, knight arrows. Yeah.
Like, Brian. Oh shit, we can't see the arrows.
Brian, would you like some double stuffed Oreos or knight Oreos?
No, what was the one? It was the cookies and cream flavored Oreos. And someone's like, did they just fucking make Oreo flavored Oreos?
Wait, is that a thing?
Yes, it is.
Terrible.
But I said while we were watching this, like, I think it's a thing where they light the arrows on fire so much that they now need to specify when they're not doing that. So that's why we get knight arrows.
But I'm like, how did nobody just said, hey, this is stupid?
I want to know, what do they do or call those during the day?
No, I bet there are special munitions that I bet they painted black. Specifically for fire at night.
That's fair.
You don't use night arrows during the day, tell me.
Oh, yeah. But where's the day man?
Oh
my god. I knew it was coming, and it was even dumber than I imagined.
I think the worst part of it is freaking Sheeran's stupid, like, he looks like he's about to jerk off when he's saying this thing.
Oh.
Fire the night arrows.
Machine's thing.
Yeah, he subscribes to the, what was the guy, the Dog the Pirate, that school of villainy where he's like, he just really loves being a villain.
Dog the Pirate.
From Cutthroat Island, where they're fighting and he's like, so, I love this!
So remember when I blocked all of Ernest Goes to Camp out of my brain? Yeah, Cutthroat Island is like that times 1,000. Yeah,
how can you forget these things?
You just reminded him that was a movie.
I mean, how you're kind of my hero, but so, like, how can you forget
So I leave here.
He's the Juniper group.
And then I go watch about 10,000 episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. It just clears it all out. Blurs just clears it all out. It's like a mental douche.
You are a mental douche.
That's fair.
All right, so
I gotta say, I just quickly want to say thank you to Michael Sheen for learning here what will grow and grow over the years. So by the time he gets to Twilight, he can just chew the shit out of the scenery. Anyway,
wait, what?
I've never seen Twilight.
Yeah, why?
No, but I expect this guy playing Lord Oliver. He looks like someone that would be in a Twilight movie, or acts like someone that would be in a Twilight movie.
Yeah, he's the head of the vampires.
Because he's the hammiest shit in that movie, and it's the only watchable part of it.
So
more battle stuff happens.
Yeah. All right. So they're Paul Walker and Kate are trying to get in through this tunnel, and they run into, like, a dead end, but, like, one of the monks goes and gets the head French guy. He's coming in the tunnel. He sees them. He's like, oh, God, they're English. I'm going to fucking kill them. They're having a little argument there.
But, when, I mean, they're not English. They don't, yeah, don't have an English accent whatsoever. Paul Walker's not even speaking a language. He's just...
All this hate.
Saying noise.
I'm a hater, and I don't...
You're not on my level of hater.
Yeah, so meanwhile, they got all the Greek fire ready, and what's his name? Lord Oliver, he's like, all right, fuck all this. I'm going to put this chick, Lady Claire, that I captured, going to put her on the battlements, hang her from a noose, be like, yo, give this shit up, or we're killing her.
Also, how, when, where?
Oh,
she was just captured off screen. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, she
wandered into their camp.
He's making a mistake because his cavalry in this movie, if you think about it, are actually quite on point. His cavalry guys just come out of the bushes and immediately win at everything they do in this movie.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so it's like he should have just had them, like, fire a volley of night arrows and your cavalry just appears out of the bushes and kills all the French.
Yeah, as long as nobody's escaping on a roof, you're good.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, there's no roofs by those trebuchets. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing that could foil
that's those your cavalry. Downfall. That is your kryptonite. Roofs.
All right, so Gerard Butler's like, yo, I'm going to hit that, so don't kill her. And if you do it, I'm going to fucking light this Greek fire over here, like all the stuff we just built. Mm. Decker's like, he's not going to do it because, you know, he'd die. Gerard Butler's just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And just lights it. And, you know, Greek fire, it's a low explosive. It deflagrates. It doesn't explode like a goddamn block of C4.
But this but sure it's does.
Movie. This movie
looks like the end of the Expendables.
Which also, yeah. Did I miss something? Because Billy Connolly was just in that room.
Yeah.
He should be
dead. Oh, he escaped on the roof.
Yeah, he was on the roof. He's fine. Even though it blew the roof up, he made his saving throw. He's good.
He landed like a cat. It's cool. Yeah.
So this thing fucking blows up like half the castle. In this huge fireball, and that the French see that, and now they're super inspired. So instead of Lady Claire's death, they're like, all right, let's go get these guys. Okay. It also blows open the...
looks really dangerous to go in there. Let's do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, most of it's on fire now. Also, that fire, we can't put out.
By our knowledge at this point, that might actually be a dragon, but let's head on in.
It appears our horses refuse to go inside. We're on foot, everybody. Oh, here comes the cavalry and the night arrows.
It blows a hole into the tunnels that the French were in, miraculously.
Which also, that would have been a cave-in. They would have died. It's not just going to blow a rock out of your way.
Well, plus, it probably would have like sucked all the oxygen out, and maybe you had a backdraft through that tunnel, too.
Yeah.
Probably. But this makes Kate go, yahoo! Yeah, like, whatever. Like, no, legit, that's her line.
Yes, yahoo. She does say yahoo.
And, we just run into the castle, and the old general melee fracas breaks out.
We're going to win Arkansas.
Yeah.
We're
going to win.
No!
So, Lord Oliver's fighting the French guy. Then he's fighting Paul Walker. Paul Walker axes him a question. He gives him the old axe to the armpit. Lord Oliver's like, whatever, dude, I'm wearing armor. They're fighting for a while. Decker and Merrick are fighting. And first off, they both just tumble down the stairs like assholes.
Yeah.
Then they get up and they keep fighting.
Like assholes.
Kate, meanwhile, is the only one that like really kind of has her head together. She's like, I'm just going to go open the gate.
Yep.
There you go.
let the army in.
French in.
Yeah.
French are coming in, killing everybody. So now Decker and Gerard Butler are fighting. And Decker swings an axe, cuts Gerard's butler's ear off. And now, in fairness to this scene, if Gerard Butler acted like that after I cut his ear off, if I was Decker, that would throw me off too. Because he's just like, he cut my ear off like it's the greatest thing in the world. He's like, I'm that guy.
I get to do her. I'm going to get some.
Yeah. He just fucking murders this dude.
I get to bang this dirty French chick that has not bathed or brushed her teeth in her entire life. Yahoo! He's coming down. He's coming back in the Millennium Falcon to save the day.
All right. So now, I don't even know how Lord Oliver dies.
It doesn't.
He gets killed.
When him and Paul Walker are fighting.
Yep.
The other guy, Arno, comes behind him.
Oh, that's right. Cuts his throat off. Yep, yep. So now, the professor and Kate are already running for it back to the field. Paul Walker's like, I got to get Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler's like, yo, I want to stay here. I know it makes no sense. It's just a terrible decision. I know I said before that I like the past, even though the past has done nothing but suck since we got here. I know I say like five French words. I probably killed this girl with all the diseases I just gave her. Also, I'm probably have a million diseases now. Also, the medieval times just sucked. But yeah, I'm staying here. Good plan.
Because I'm getting some.
Paul Walker's like, all right, dude, have fun with that. Running away. And they run out to the field. And that British cavalry, it's on point. It's on him. He's like, some of the French guys tried to stop it. I believe the horse whacks a dude with its ass into a wall.
Probably.
And then, that horse's ass.
The horse's, that ass.
MVP of the movie.
Yeah, it is. Favorite actor in the movie, horse's ass.
That horse's name, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Wow.
So, all right. So Lupin, meanwhile, he's like, or whatever this guy's name is, weird face.
Like Derringer or something like that.
Weird face McInan. He's like Doniger.
Doniger.
He's running in. He's like, I don't know. I'm going to yank out some coils, I guess. Let's make it so this thing can't be usable.
Yeah, he doesn't want them to come back because he's afraid of the bad press.
He's afraid of bad press. Can't you like just unplug it? I don't know. But he's in the chamber. The doors suddenly close because now the time machine's activating. He's like, fuck. And a lot of slow motion screaming happens as Paul Walker and the professor and Kate travel forward in time and juxtapose with Professor Lupin, who is now teleported back in time. And like the red shirts before him, that knight is just immediately stab. Yep. He dead.
I believe he probably cuts his head off. That's kind of what we're led to believe. Yeah. But yeah. And now we have a guy in the... was a 1300 something who's dead with a wallet, keys, a watch.
That's right. Do you know how much Greek fire they set off in there? That whole place is burned down.
Okay.
all right. So they go back to the future. And dun, dun, yeah, dun. You wish it was Back to the Future.
It's your kid's money.
And then
they're making really bad choices.
Yeah, they go back to the dig site, find. I guess his character's name was Merrick's cask, the sarcophagus.
Yeah, we unveil more of this tomb we saw before, the one-eared guy, and it's Merrick with a nice little message for him.
I guess he got some. Good for him.
Yeah, they had three kids named after Kate, Chris, and Francois, the Frenchie who got stabbed.
Dear Francois.
Like, they had to convince him to go.
Yeah.
Like, and then immediately he's killed.
Yeah. Because we really need you to be our translator, even though everyone speaks English and you're going to die in 5 minutes.
He did not come in handy one time.
He didn't even talk until he got stabbed.
His ability to speak French was just a huge liability, and that's it.
And that's it. That's the movie. It's over.
Yep.
Yeah. It comes... grinding to a farting, sad, pooping halt. All right, guys, so that was Timeline. Does anybody have the Rotten Tomatoes on this?
Yes. On RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a whopping score of 11%. Audience gave this a score of 45%.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with the critics on this one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Want to elaborate on that?
I think we've said throughout watching this episode,
the thing with this, like, I heard this was a bad movie, and it's not that it was bad in the sense, like, the acting was bad, but it wasn't, like, shitty. There's not a lot of crazy things happening other than, like, the night arrows. It's just so damn passionless.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, this movie is blah. And, I mean, it's a big medieval, like, siege battle at the end that should normally be really excited about it. And it's actually not that bad of a scene, but you just don't care. By the time you get there, you're like, I don't give one shit. This movie, you know, I've seen nothing in it that I'm inspired about. And like, why did they have to travel back in time? What difference did that make? I'm sure this was a good book. I trust Michael Crichton. He hasn't let me down. I'm sure this was a good book, but I can't see how based on this. This is just like, it just felt pointless and passionless.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, particularly, I feel I read that half of this movie got left on the cutting room floor, and I can feel it. And I don't know if it'll make it better or not, but it's intrigued me enough where I'm interested in maybe checking out the book. But this movie just does not serve any purpose. It's just pointless and, like you said, passionless and just, it's a chore. So I can't really recommend it.
It feels like this movie just like reaches out to you. It's just like, come on, let's just get this over.
Yes.
Yeah. it's
harmless, but pointless.
You're not. I wanted both sides to lose. Like, I was not interested in anything that happened at all.
In fairness, I never understood a word the French noble guy said because it was in Italian. But
there was that. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he said some real cool stuff.
Sure.
I doubt it.
We purchased a defective copy of this
movie. Yeah, it was weird. I mean, my settings were weird on the DVD ROM player.
But I will say this, like if I was a young teen on a Friday night trying to
on your first date
take a girl out for the very first time,
no,
and like
disagree,
and like, we pick a movie, disagree, just to be able to sit in their movie, whatever. I'm not watching the movie because I'm so nervous about like what's gonna happen, you know, during or after the movie. I don't care what's on the screen, whatever. So like, I can get to see him just bits and pieces. We're like, oh, I guess it was okay. I saw bits and pieces of it, like whatever. But like, I'm worried about like, you know, like, where's my hand gonna go? Okay, you know, all kind of bullshit.
This so is
like,
an okay, make your move,
yeah,
move movie because she's not involved in it at all either. At all. She's like, whatever. I guess we'll make out this. Better than this.
I'll argue this, and maybe it's just on me. I'm thinking that's more save that for the second date or something, because the first date, I don't want to be nervous and thinking about where my hand's going to go. I want something to distract me from that shit.
No, but that's going to happen regardless of like, if that's going
to
happen.
A little bit, but I feel like this, I wouldn't pay any attention to the movie, and I'd be focused all on that and just sweating for 2 hours or whatever.
Well, to be fair, that's what we were doing anyway, on my couch.
It would be good to kill that first date nervousness boner.
Yeah, this will do it.
Yeah, it will. It'll take there's, that shit right
there's
down.
There's just nothing on either side going on here. Yeah.
So nobody's recommending this.
I'd rather watch Dragonheart again than this.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, for absolutely. Sure. I'd rather watch Dungeons and Dragons than this.
I might. That's rough.
I kind of agree. I kind of agree.
No, because you know what? I'll have fun watching
that. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Dungeons and Dragons is good, bad. This is just kind of blah.
At least I get a Jeremy Irons.
I'd almost rather watch Aragorn. I don't know.
Aragorn was pretty
good. That's rough. That's a rough one.
I tried multiple times to watch that.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Ugh. It's just not good.
Yeah, nah.
I mean, and it's one of those ones where it's like it's in a time setting that I'm very interested in, and I would have loved to just, you know, had a movie about the Hundred Years' War. Like, I'd rather watch like The Messenger or something, which that movie's probably not good, and it's been like 20 years since I saw it, but
yeah,
something like that.
Even if this was just set on, you know, this one archaeologist found this tomb and then went back in time and figured out, oh, kind of, you know, making this history.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would have been better with that. But yeah, we waste so much time with the dude from Empire Records and David Thewlis decking around. And
that's what he's from.
Yeah, and accomplishing nothing.
Because he wasn't the guy you're truly talking about story. He was the guy next to him.
Again, we went back in time for nothing. We didn't bring any technology other than these pendants we keep losing. We're so ill-prepared for everything. We lose half our party. It's just a mess.
At the end of that medieval battle, it had something like Congo, where the lady gets the diamond and that crazy laser. And just lays waste to those gorillas.
Or if we're going to, you know, we're going to be crazy with Greek fire, let's do something crazy with Greek fire. But yeah, it's just kind of...
It was just a non-committal gray paste.
It's fine.
Even like a stupid like an A-team style battle wagon where they get a building montage. Something.
But it was like even know. The yeah, all the fight
your
scenes.
Car like Ash and
hey, you know what? I hate all that stuff normally, but I would rather see that than what I got here.
But even the battle scenes, you could tell they only had like 20 extras and they just kept reusing them.
They paid each one of them $1 million.
Apparently. Well,
like, did this movie, like, kill someone in production that they had to pay the widow or something? Like,
probably. It killed me.
Yeah.
In execution. Let's Let's move on. First, let's thank Megan for sponsoring this episode.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
If you'd also like to sponsor next an episode, you can do so by checking out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. We have all kinds of ways to sponsor an episode. You get to give us a little money or buy some merch and then tell us whatever movie you want us to watch and we will sit through it.
Also, if you have a time machine, please come back and rescue us from having to watch that movie. Just watch out. There will be a British cavalry man there to stab you the moment you go through that portal.
See, yeah, start
like,
running.
I feel like someone has figured out how to make time machines work, but they can't figure out the universal location because you need to, the time, place, location, whatever. But everything in the universe is moving.
Yeah.
So they keep sending people back in time or forward in time, but the universe ain't there because they're missing
a
coordinate.
They're in a mountain or
they know the right notes on the cosmic key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, we gotta, more space.
eat more ribs. Get more some sauce in their face.
Blow some swamp water out their ears. Fucking Gwildor, he will always suck.
Here's the trick. Just play Never Gonna Give You Up.
Rick Astley, just do a Rickroll.
Yeah, on the cosmic key.
That's,
I think that'll open. I think just makes you turn inside out and die painfully.
That's Eve 6.
But so thanks for the sponsored episode. I believe now we get to roll the D20 of fate to see what we watch next.
Yeah,
whose turn is this?
So roll that. You roll left.
I have no idea. Yeah,
Rob rolled the Beetlejuice.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's Joe.
All right, yeah, cool.
Oh shit.
Cool.
I haven't rolled this literally in like 6 months. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Make it good.
Hookah haka! That's a 6.
6. What do we got for 6? Let's see. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not a good face.
I guess it depends on how
you... Depends means it's not good.
It's a Marvel movie. Does that help?
Nope.
Uh-oh.
That's what it is.
It's from 2011.
Nope.
Silver Surfer?
It's got Nicolas Cage in it.
No. Oh, no. Oh, I'm excited now.
I am kind of excited. I've been wanting to see this.
It is Ghost Rider.
I've actually never seen it.
Spirit of Vengeance. It's the sequel.
Oh, that's Spirit the even weirder
one. It's the crazy one. Oh, boy. Whew.
Them CGI-ing a crazy face over Nicolas Cage's already crazy face.
I think it was in both of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
This one has him peeing fire.
This one does have him peeing fire.
Really? Yeah. Well, I mean, well, spoilers, damn. Like.
I'm sorry.
It's, I mean, it was in the commercials. It's not really.
Ryan doesn't watch trail.
That's true.
It's, I mean, also better than I did, but.
It's also from 2011. Yeah. It also has no bearing on the film whatsoever.
Yeah, we're not.
But, yeah. Oh, boy. It's going to be a feisty one. Well. That's it for this episode. Join us next time for Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every once in a while. For episode archive, merch store, and more information, you can check out our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can contact us by following us on Twitter or Facebook at 4ampodcast. And you can always email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. We're always happy to hear from you guys, whatever you have to say. Like we mentioned before, if you want to sponsor an episode, you can check out our website, and we do have a sponsorship page there, I believe, now, thanks to Brian's awesomeness. And that's about it. I'm not going to give out the Google number, because I don't think we're doing anything phone-wise for right now, but yeah.
All right, when you venture out tonight in the evening hours, make sure to have an umbrella. You got to watch out for those night arrows.
I do have to watch out for those night arrows.
Wow.
Fire and night arrows.
So if you're near a bush, it's probably
a cavalry,
a horse that's just gonna slam you with its ass.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be going playing Red Dead, so probably yes, yeah. A horse will slam me with its ass, kill me instantly.
All right then.
Goodbye, fools.
Deuces.
Good night, everybody.
Night arrows.